Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the Basketball Addicts Podcast, the yes. One podcast in the world that answers the only question that really matters right now at this very moment is, how you get from outside the scoring title when you're not even top 10? How you get from outside the scoring title when you're not even top 10? And that's exactly where we're going to go today because there's so many people who like, LeBron's not top 10, he's not the best player of all time. How you going to hate me? You're not even top 10. You're not even top 10 in scoring. How you going to hate? And okay, Michael Jordan is, I think, like number four, but I was watching this thing today, right? And I'm sorry to get off on a tangent just right as soon as we jump in. I was watching this thing, right? It was like a little clip.
It's okay.
It was on Instagram, right? And it was Nick Wright, and it was like from like 2017, I think it was. Nick Wright was on Undisputed, I think it was. It's before the hair. And he was like, he said the argument for LeBron being the best ever versus Jordan. It stopped mattering once he passed him in points because he's a better assist. He's better at assists. He has a better 3-point shooting percentage, better mid-range shooting percentage, better assists, better steals, better in points. So when he passed him on that, you know what I mean? When he passed him on that, that's when he became better than Jordan. But he said, if we're talking accomplishments, then the best ever is Kareem or Bill Russell. It's how you look at it because Kareem and Bill Russell have all the accomplishments. Have the scoring title, have 11 rings, 5 rings, however many rings, you know what I mean? Like, that's who you, so if you really truly saying, like, okay, LeBron had got a, 2017, I think he's got the 2016 championship, on his way to the 2020 championship, and he's been the MVP already. So, I mean, like, he's already passed Jordan because of this, if you're thinking without accomplishments, you're just looking at the points and everything like that. He's a better player. He does everything Jordan does, but better. I'm kind of like paraphrasing. I'm kind of trying to remember it right now. But yeah, he does everything but like Jordan, but better. And when he passed him on the scoring list, which was like at game 6 of the 2016 NBA Finals, when he passed Jordan. So it's like he leads all time in playoff points.
Yeah.
So it's like he's better. He's better already. Who he's chasing now is Kareem, in my opinion. And in Nick Wright's opinion, I guess. But I agree with Nick. I think he's chasing Kareem.
Yeah, I think, you know, stats only matter to a certain extent, right? In my opinion.
Yeah.
Right. But there comes a point in time where the stats become so overwhelming that it can lead to some disparity. Now, I'm an eye test guy. I really believe in the eye test. But sometimes a statistical argument can be made for the GOAT debate that leads to some strong debates. And, you know, I think the GOAT debate is also something subjective to the point of what's your criteria to be the GOAT? Okay, I want the best guy. If the Monstars come and invade, right, we got to send one guy and four pieces of paper with them, who's going to win, right? Some people, that's their requirement. One individual game, their best versus the other person's best, and I just want to know who is better at their peak, okay? Mm-hmm. And some people, you know, I don't think that's the right way to view it because one game, one person's individual one game best does not mean that they're the better player over a longer period of time. It doesn't mean that when somebody has done something so great for such a longer period of time, you would take that because it's easier to win rings, right? Because everything's about rings. Because there's one thing that you can know that actually is right about basketball, because a lot of things are subjective. Oh, what's better? Having good three-point shooters or playing through the post, people have different opinions on that. But there's one thing that does not lie. There is a winner. And the winner did something right. Think about the way I view passing, right? I'm like, the winner every single year in the NBA championship either has a great individual passer or a great team passing built through a system. That's why I think passing is so underrated, because you can conclude it to winning. A scoring title, that's subjective. Who was the best scorer this year? I mean, yeah, maybe Melo had the best points per game, but, you know, maybe LeBron, if he just focused on scoring those years instead of just passing, he probably would have been, you know, averaging more points per game than Melo, right? It's subjective. True. You know, not every stat is perfect, right? But the only thing that really is a finality in sports is championships. And that's fine to why people think that MJ is the greatest. Right, that's fine. What people think is Bill Russell's the greatest, but there's more that goes into a championship than just star players. Right, it's a team achievement, and people, you know, the forgotten era that would teach people this if they watched it is the 70s. The 70s had guys like, you know, we got Bill Walton winning a ring with the Portland Trail Blazers. We got JoJo White and Dave Cowens in 1972 winning a ring with the Boston Celtics. We got, you know, every other year there was a different guy. No, but there was no back-to-back championships in the 70s. Basketball was so low at that point in time. Nobody, the ratings were low. Nobody liked watching it. And part of the reason was because the best players didn't have championship teams. It wasn't fun to watch people, because people love to hate or watch greatness. We love to see greatness because we either love to hate on greatness or we love to watch greatness happen, right? Yeah. That's why Bulls, oh, we love the 80s because we get to see Magic and Bird. We love to hate Bird. We love to love Bird. You know, it's just subjective. Mm-hmm. But in the 70s, the best player by a gazillion miles was Kareem. Kareem, 29-12, and while also being the best player and most of those years, defensive player in most of those years, because the defensive shot blocking and his movement abilities, like, he was special defensively as well. He wasn't just one-sided, and he dominated the boards. He won one ring in the 70s.
Yeah.
One, and that was with Oscar Robertson when he was really young. Robertson, yeah. And most of those times, if you would ask somebody in 1975, how does championships get won, they would have the correct answer. It is team basketball. What is a great team? Because they just watched Kareem average 30-12-4 for like the last 5 years to get no rings. Even though I guess one, but you know what I mean? Like, it's the point here is that's really what true basketball was. It just wasn't remarkable. Okay. And that's what people really have to take away from this is, okay, so then how do we really, how does this affect LeBron? How does this relate to LeBron? The reason why it relates to LeBron is I would want the guy that gives me most chances to win a ring. I would want the guy that has the best career. Okay, well, why would you judge it that way? Okay, did MJ, when he was at 40, 39, at the Washington Wizards, was he good enough to be an NBA championship leader and winner and the best player in those teams? No, right? Those years don't really matter in a GOAT debate, because we're talking about greatest of all time. I want to know how many times that this guy's greatness is so great that I could have the best player in the league type guy. How many times was this guy so great that this guy could be the best player in an NBA championship team? Because those guys are hard to find. It's like 10 of them in the league at each year. Like, they're not that many. But at the same point in time, there's still guys that could be like, think about, for example, Bill Russell in the 60s. He was the best player in those teams, but he wasn't so great offensively. He never averaged more than 20 points per game, right? But he had a great team, so he could be the best player on those NBA championship teams.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there's a lot of times, even MJ's Bulls, you got Dennis Rodman, who's one of the greatest power forward defenders of all time. Scottie Pippen, who led the Dream Team in assists, point forward. one of the greatest small defender, four defenders of all time, right? And Ron Harper, who was a great defender, who used to, when he was with the Cavs, he used to guard MJ. Like, he was the guy that they used to guard him. Like, yeah. Of course those teams won rings. They're great defensively. A good, great player could have fit in those teams, right? There is that, and that is where I think the GOAT debate should lie. And I think that LeBron's GOAT debate is getting so insane. Okay? So, I did the stats on this. LeBron has had 19 seasons where he's put up the stats. He's put up the numbers where he could have been the best player on an NBA championship team. And for 16 seasons, he could have been the best player in the NBA. MJ had 13 years where he was the best, could be the best player in the NBA. 12 where he could be the best player in an NBA championship team. That's a six. That's 6 years difference. Where I get six more years to try to build around an NBA champion. That matters at some point in time because these stats are crazy. Like, he's averaging 29-5. Last year he averaged 30. Right?
Yeah.
This longevity's never happened before, and I'm going to keep on making this point here. Kareem had 12 years where he could have been the best player in the NBA, and 11 where he could have been the, I mean, 12 years where he could have been an NBA championship leader, and 11 where he could have been the best player in the NBA. Wilt had 10 years where he could have been the best player in the NBA, and 20 years where he could have been NBA championship leader. Wilt Chamberlain, 50-25 guy, didn't have the longevity. Kobe had 12 years where he could have been the best player in the NBA, the best player in NBA champion. Magic had 7 because of HIV, right? He had 7 years where he could have been the best player in the NBA, and 7 years where he could have been the best player in the NBA championship team. And Bird had 10 years where he could be the best player in the NBA championship team, and 7 where he could have been the best player in the NBA. Those put the Larry Bird is like half of LeBron James, okay, statistically. Right, those come into play here because at some point in time, if you really know basketball, we're going to do the GOAT debate. How many rings can we win with these guys should be the question that is asked. Okay, well, LeBron, you can win 6 more rings than anybody else because of how long he could have been the best player in the NBA championship team. He could have done it last year, and he can do it this year too, right? Because he's so great even now because of the way he improves the game. And at some point in time, that matters. That matters. And his NBA Finals record should back this up. He went to 10 NBA Finals. Oh, he straight. Lost 6.
10 straight.
Well, I think like it was 9 straight. Straight. But
9 straight?
It was 9 straight because he got the 1 in 2007 when he carried basically Booby Gibson and Mo Williams and blah, 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 blah. The NBA
yeah,
Finals.
Delonte West. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the point here, is it's getting to the point in time where even if you think MJ had a better peak, nobody in their right mind, you get $1 billion to run an NBA franchise, you couldn't tell me, unless you were fucking stupid, that you would choose 6 more honest, years huh? of LeBron's greatness. MJ took 2 years off. You got to be like, okay, well, in the middle of his prime, he's going to take 2 years off because he needs, you know, whatever, XYZ, and he's going to retire after that. You know what? And like, oh, the team was, they fired Phil Jackson, and they were going to completely reform the team. Okay, so he's going to play with a bad team. LeBron James did that with Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram before they traded for Anthony Davis. He didn't retire. Yeah. I didn't see him retire. No. MJ gets a free pass for pulling that shit. Okay, cool. Well, you got a guy who was going to retire 3 times at time frames for whatever reason, for his mental stability or XYZ. You have to factor that shit in, right? Like, at his peak, he's retiring. Okay, yeah you're going to get a great version when he comes back, but that's three less years of, like, being able to be a champion. Like, everybody's got excuses for MJ because everybody loves MJ. But would you have to actually make a decision based on the facts, not what if, oh, if he would have played, he would have won 8 straight. You don't know that. Kenny the Jet Smith thinks that those Rockets teams had their number because the only not great defender on those teams was their center position, right? And they had
not beating Magic. They're not coming out the
right.
East.
Yeah, so like, you have to take the facts, right? This is facts. We have to deal with facts, not what ifs, right? This history doesn't lie. And it's getting such an insane point in time where nobody in their right mind wouldn't choose LeBron's extra 6 years. It's six fucking years difference gap between him and MJ. It is larger between him and every other great player. The gap widens. Widens. Yeah. I mean, the difference between him and Magic is like a decade. A decade. Nobody would choose. You get a whole nother decade. Sadly, Magic had AIDS, right? We, you know, it's a sad reality. We have to deal with what we know, not what if, right? Mm-hmm. And nobody with the actual facts of what actually has happened in the NBA would choose somebody else unless you are a four-year-old or you're in so much denial about MJ that you just, it overrides everything.
AKA Skip Bayless.
Which I'm gonna, like, if I'm the GM in that league too, I have the second pick. Thank you. Okay. You take MJ, I'll take my six extra rings. Thank you. Right. Because LeBron never had a top 10 all time coach. He never had a top 50 all time coach. He never had, like, a top 100 all time head coach. Okay. If I'm running the team, you think I would have paid a gazillion dollars for Pop, knowing what I know now. If the Cavs had to redo this in 2003, they drafted him, and they get to know that they get to have 19 years of a guy that could be the best player on an NBA championship team in 16 years when he's going to be a guy that could be the best player in the league. They're not paying $5 million for Pop and taking things a little more seriously. Okay? let's just be honest here. Right? He would be Bill Russell-ish with the rings won. Right, he would imagine a guy that's able to go to 16 NBA finals. No, my bad, 19 NBA finals. He could have been the best player to NBA championship team for 19 years. Most people don't even play that long. And this is not it's modern medicine. Okay, then tell that to Dwight Howard, who's a freak athlete, got drafted 2 years after LeBron James and is out the fucking league. No, it's his genetics. This guy's a freak of nature, and you guys don't want to talk about it. But we're not gonna miss the smoke here. You guys are gonna have to catch the smoke. For the last 2 years, this guy's been able to be an NBA championship winner, be able to be the best team player on an NBA championship team at the age of 37 and 38. He's averaging 29 right now. 29. This is completely ridiculous. Like it's gotten the point in time where this has to be him. You have to choose him. Are you stupid? Like if you would have drafted the San Antonio Spurs in 2003, LeBron James would have, like, what, 15 NBA Finals appearances, 10 rings. Like, if he would have just gotten drafted somewhere where they had a good coach, it would have been over, okay? If he would have gotten drafted to Phil Jackson, yeah, I'm talking to you, Kobe fucking fanatics. If he would have gotten drafted in 1997 with Phil Jackson and Shaq, and the LA Lakers organization, where they were really good back then as being an organization, they still had Jerry West in the front office and XYZ. Yeah. He's going for 15 NBA finals. He's winning 10 of them. Like, it's just like, let's be honest here. He had Phil fucking Jackson. Yeah. I'd say that he's going to have a great ring count at some point in time. Yeah. Right. Not everybody gets blessed with that. Kobe did. Right. A lot of these great all-time players had great coaches with them. Pat Riley had – Magic had Pat Riley. Casey Jones, I'm pretty sure, was the head coach of the Larry Bird. The guy's an underrated coach. He's really good. You know, Wilt's only guy that just didn't get a good coach and his individual greatness. But, like, at some point in time, these ridiculous fucking numbers matter. And this is getting crazy. Nobody's done this before. And we don't even know if this is the end. I don't know if these skills. I can't say, LeBron's next year is going to be 22-9. I don't know. I can't say that anymore. He's disproving everything I thought. Right? Everything I thought I knew about guys aging. Like what? This guy's insane. And, LeGoat, man. LeGoat.
LeGoat James. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
So what I'm getting from what you were saying is, just to come, you know, keep the conversation going, is like you were saying that longevity and consistency are the basis for these type of debates that people seem to ignore. They seem to ignore that Mike, you know, took several breaks away from basketball and LeBron didn't. LeBron played straight through his league. They may say that, it's because Michael Jordan is such a winner and that's why he couldn't stand being on a losing team. But then you criticize LeBron for not being able to carry a salt shaker, a couple pieces of paper, and a phone case to the NBA Finals year after year, and, and with Mike Brown as a coach, with David Blatt as a coach. Tyronn Lue as a coach. I mean, he won with Tyronn Lue. He got really close to a championship with David Blatt. But those years with Mike Brown were horrendous. And then he left and came back, and then it still was horrendous. It was nothing that changed.
Yeah.
And but we seem to forget about that. It seems that, I'm going to say this. If Mike was such was the best player ever to touch the basketball, what did Larry Bird say? It was Jesus and wearing Michael Jordan's skin. If that was the case, why does it seem that we hold LeBron to a higher standard than any other player in history of basketball?
True. They'd be giving MJ all the excuses about leaving the league twice. All the excuses. All of them.
Exactly. And we hold LeBron to the highest of high... Lamestream media holds LeBron to the highest standards of basketball greatness, but they don't hold Mike to those standards.
No.
And Skip Bayless was the guy who covered him, and he's delusional. He doesn't even hold him to those standards. But LeBron, when LeBron came in, because he had that Sports Illustrated magazine, the chosen one, you know what I mean? He came into Cleveland, and he was just supposed to start winning championships the first year.
Yeah.
It was like, he's the best player. He's coming out of high school. He's supposed to start winning championships. And it's like, you had people coming on the TV and saying, you haven't won anything. Why are you celebrating? Win something for once. And I'm like, and then he leaves and go to Miami. You know what I mean? That kind of crushes Cleveland. You know, I get it.
Yeah.
You may say that, Mike never left the team. He physically left the team. He never left the team, went to another team. He physically left the team. He deleted himself from the team and then came back to the team. So stop that argument, because that's bullcrap. That's bullshit. That is a bullshit argument, because he physically left the team. He didn't just leave. He didn't pack his bags and go to LA. He didn't pack his bags and go to Orlando. He didn't pack his bags and go to Atlanta. He packed his bags and said, I'm going to start hitting baseballs for the rest of my life and golfing. That's what he did. So let's be for real now. Knock the delusions out your head, because I'm here for that. We're gonna knock all the spider webs, all the cobwebs, and get you thinking again, right? This is what we're for.
Yeah.
So we just don't, we gotta hold these players to the standard. You know what I mean? You made perfect, clear points that I hope that everybody is understanding, is that longevity matters. We have seen 21 years of LeBron James in the league consistently knock off the first 2 years, right? Consistently being the best player. Like, yes, he left, right? Went to different teams, but he knew that Mike Brown is not going to win him a championship. Z is not going to win him a championship. Mo Williams is not going to win him a championship.
Yeah.
Delonte West, old Shaq is not going to win him a championship. Baron Davis, old as heck, is not going to win him a championship. Antoine Jameson, old as heck, is not going to win him a championship. He understood this. So, yes, he left. I don't fault him for leaving. I mean, hey, at one point in time, you know what I mean? You're young, you're watching basketball, you're like, man, this is my favorite basketball player, and he left the home team.
Yeah.
You feel something in your you know, about that. True. I'm not going to go as far as I was burning jerseys. I'm not doing that. But, you know, people burn jerseys and all types of stuff, but he went to Miami and he won. He was in a good system with good coaches, and finally was next to good players. Tell me this. Could Mike, for all you Mike lovers, right? You say the people who love LeBron or LeBron sexuals or whatever you want to call it. Let's Jordan sexuals for y'all, right? This is for you. Could Mike take a crappy team to the finals? He needed Scottie. No. He needed Rodman. He needed Ron Harper. He needed these people. He needed Kerr. He dropped 63, but I mean, like, look at it. He had the best defensive players on his team around him. The team was built perfectly for him to win. How could he have not won?
Jackson. Yeah.
Best coach and everything. And LeBron still has not had a top 10 coach. Let's go through coaches. I don't remember all of the coaches from the Cavs, but I do remember Mike Brown, because my grandfather really hated Mike Brown.
Tyronn Lue,
David Blatt.
Dear God.
And then he had Spoelstra for like, what, two years?
He was really
two, 3 years. Yeah.
He wasn't Spo that we know today. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Spo for 3 years. Then he came back and had David Blatt and Tyronn Lue. Then he got what's the guy who's Is he coaching anymore? Who he won with? Oh, Frank Vogel. He had him for like 2-3 years, and now he has Darvin Ham.
Darvin Ham, yeah.
Assistant, not assistant.
Yeah.
We're not talking about he had like he didn't have a Phil Jackson. He didn't have I can't even think of Greg Popovich. He didn't have
What the fuck
was yeah, they had Byron Scott in Cleveland at one point, but he didn't coach LeBron though.
He didn't have a
Brett Auerbach. Red Auerbach. He didn't have those caliber of coaches.
Pat Riley, yeah.
But Pat Riley. Pat Riley was in the front office when he came to Miami.
Yeah.
Be for real.
That man's great front office guy, though. No fact. No cap. Yeah.
No disrespect, but be for real, guys.
And
could you put Jordan in that? Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And to all of those LeBron James haters, the Dwayne Wade and LeBron James pairing is overrated. It's overrated because it was easy to beat. Okay, the reason why it was easy to beat is both of them relied on their ability to attack the basket. Even though they might have been 4 inches in between them as players, they played very similar styles of basketball. Dwayne Wade and LeBron James' best two abilities is being ridiculously athletic, attacking the basket, and passing. Dwayne Wade's a hell of a passer for a two-guard. Like, top 10 passer of all time at the two-guard position. D. Wade's legit, right? So their strengths were the same. So guys, like, you know, they got beat by the Mavericks, who had Tyson Chandler, who won a DPOY, and Dirk. Okay, 2 7-footers can't stop them. The San Antonio Spurs, they had 2 bigs, right? Tim Duncan was the power forward, and they had another big. I can't think of Thiago Splitter. Yeah. Right? Like, they had 2 bigs. The 2 bigs formula really could stop them because they had a flaw in who they were as a team. It wasn't a perfect fit like Scotty and MJ, where Scotty's, you know, this great distributor, and that's MJ's weakness. And both of them are great defenders, so they pair beautifully together. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they didn't have that. So I would like to say that even though the names and what they were as players were great, the value and how good they were as a team wasn't as great as people thought. So that's why they didn't win as many rings, because they had a flaw. Okay.
Yeah.
That's my piece.
How many Hall of Fame teammates did LeBron have?
Dear God. Maybe 4?
Can we only say Kyrie?
5? I mean, like, D-Wade, Bosh, Kevin Love will probably make it.
I mean, like, in their prime.
Oh, in their prime. D-Wade and Bosh, Kai, AD, that's probably it. Love wasn't the same Minnesota Timberwolves love. Like, if you watch Minnesota Timberwolves loves, you're like 26.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
14. And like,
yeah,
you know,
he was crazy in Minnesota.
Yeah. He really had it like that for a minute there.
So 4, right? 4 Hall of Fame teammates, right?
Mm-hmm. In their prime.
In their prime.
3 of them are injury prone as hell. AD can't stay healthy. Kai's got a lot of injury issues. D Wade was really breaking down at that point in time. Like, he was really injury prone.
Yeah,
Chris Bosh he wasn't the same. That was like consistent at that for him for like the whole time frame.
I would agree because this wasn't the same D Wade that carried Shaq on his back in 2006 to an NBA championship.
That's the sad thing about D Wade, man. Is D Wade for a minute there, people were like, D Wade or Kobe? Like, there was a moment there where it was close, right? You could really make the argument. Like, it's sad because, you know, those injuries, man.
Injury does a hell of a thing. Go ahead.
I swear he's like 6'4" MJ. Like he's mm-hmm. insane. Yeah. That's all I was gonna say.
Yeah, Andrew does a hell of a thing. So that's another reason, right? Consistency and longevity, right, has been like the main focal point of the conversation here.
Yeah.
LeBron is just now starting to get hurt. he didn't go through injury after injury after injury. You may say it's because he's passive. He passes the ball too much. Doesn't attack genetic that much. Fight. This is one thing that I have heard consistently on every single platform that I have ever listened to. You know what I mean? And Skip Bayless is a big LeBron hater, but this is one thing he always prays for. He says whenever he feels like attacking the basket, he can do so. And it's nothing you can do about it. So are we saying that as many times as he is ran headfirst, like, you know, 60 miles, just exaggerating here, 60 miles an hour down the court and dunking on somebody's head, he's right. not being fouled, right? That's everybody's argument. Oh, he's just crying. No, he's constantly being fouled, but he's so strong, he's absorbing the contact and he's not getting hurt by it. Now Father Time is starting to catch up to him. The Browns are getting a little bit different. Now he's starting to get hurt a little bit more. You know, there might be some people who are intentionally targeting them. But that's what I'm saying, is that it's the longevity of it.
Even
it's definitely
in,
just the longevity
D-Wade,
of the conversation,
like,
is because 19 straight
talking
years,
on a podcast,
and I would say he just started getting hurt about...
I would
about,
see LeBron James get injuries that, like, most guys would be, like,
I think he
like,
had his first injury,
like
his first year in L.A.
He just get, like, get
but he was leading them
play.
To a championship
crazy
at that point, too.
Like,
he had Lonzo Ball, Brandon
go
Ingram.
Through, and you look at the NCAA players, like, man, that guy literally just got, like, his
I'm not completely sure.
All the
but
way
he had
here.
He had
but
young
he just
and,
keeps
he was,
on playing.
And he was
like,
still
just
leading
just
them
freak.
To he was the best
just,
player
just
on that
the
team
reality.
Until he got hurt and we were sure they was going to the playoffs and possibly a ring with just without I mean even without that second star, and then he got AD. And AD is hurt all the time, and he's still the best player. This was supposed to be the time where AD is supposed to jump up and take care of the, you know, and take care of the load and become that best player, and LeBron is still the best player on the team. He has still not let go of the reins and the title of the best player in the league. 19 straight years of dominance, consistency, longevity. No other player in NBA history has that. Mm-hmm. And we can't use the argument anymore for NBA championships. Not any longer. Because... as Jason said, and as I've said on previous occasions, on previous episodes of this, championships are a team sport. I mean, championships are a team accolade. You cannot win a champ. You're not winning a championship by yourself. It's a team accolade. So you can't, we can't. Yeah, so it's like, you know, you cannot use that as an argument anymore because it's just not true. Team accolade, I mean, championships are a team accolade. Championships are a team accolade. You cannot use that as an argument anymore.
That's facts. And, you know, I feel like that's something that most people just don't understand about basketball. And, it's crazy, man, like... I don't even know, like, how, like, people can be so just trapped and entrapped into the thought process of, I just think it's a lack of knowledge of basketball. Like, I feel like if you really understand basketball, you understand that's just not it's a team achievement. Like, winning a championship is a team achievement, right? And it's just not based on individual talent. The greatest individual talent doesn't always win. And even though winning can lead to the only correct answer, right? Like how basketball should be played can leave a lot of information. But it's not like just championships means how great XYZ is, right? And the sad reality is MJ never lost in the finals. He's unbeatable. Well, yeah, I mean, he played Clyde Drexler and Terry Porter. Woo! He played Charles Barkley and Kevin Johnson, and he had Dennis Rodman guarding Charles fucking Barkley. Oh, woo! Oh, okay, and he's got to face the Utah Jazz for twice. Oh, you know who's guarding him both those times? Dennis Rodman. Oh, yeah. Okay, so every single time he played somebody, either he could guard their best player, or Dennis Rodman could guard their best player, or Scottie Pippen could guard Magic Johnson the first time when they made the NBA Finals. Oh, yeah, they literally never faced anybody that was, like, a great point guard. Gary Payton. Oh, yeah, MJ guarded Gary Payton, right? Like, he never faced a great center that could just, like, expose their flaws, right?
Yeah.
They were a great team, but the greatest players, the top five players, right? David Robinson was a top three player in that era. So was Hakeem, right? It was MJ, Hakeem, David Robinson. David Robinson's best player that he played with was Dennis Rodman for 1 year, okay? That's how bad his teams were, okay? And Hakeem, even though Hakeem's got two rings, they had a lot of shooting. They didn't have another all-star, except if you want to consider Clyde Drexler, who's aging and not really the same Portland Trailblazers. Clyde. You can make the debate, but it's just, you know, like, the teams that he had to compete against weren't as great, you know what I mean? Just didn't have teams that could expose his weaknesses, those Chicago Bulls teams' weaknesses. And, you know, like, even historically speaking, for example, this is, there's a team that exposed the Magic Johnson, Kareem, James Worthy team, and there was a team that had Hakeem and what's the fucking center from Virginia? Ralph Sampson, 7'3", 7-footers, right? Two guys that could have been the top 10. Ralph Sampson could have been a top 10 center of all time, right? They exposed the Lakers' weaknesses, even though they weren't a better team, right? That's just the way basketball works. Like, matchups matter, and the Bulls didn't have a bad matchup in that era. And, you know, it's just, of course they won. Okay, cool. They won. Yeah, great. Woo. Woo. Okay, they had a great team. And
yeah,
they had fucking a great Jackson.
Team. Yeah. They had a great team and a great coach, so. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, that's it, man. It's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy.
It's crazy. It's crazy how we just forget, you know? Mm-hmm. I wonder, like, I don't like to use what ifs, but I'm going to use one here. Like, what if their social media was around, you know what I mean, during the Jordan eras? You know, do you think that he would be as criticized or scrutinized as LeBron is right now?
Oh, yeah. He leaves. He's going to have to shut down his fucking Instagram.
Yeah.
All the accounts deleted. Oh, I wonder why. Michael Jordan shoe sales are going down. I wonder why. I'm so sorry to break it to you guys, but yeah. And Dennis Rodman's craziness. Oh my god, he gets to go to fucking Las Vegas like the week of the NBA Finals. Like, they're not winning the ring this year. The Bulls don't take shit seriously. Dennis Rodman.
Oh man,
Dennis Rodman during the social media era would be fucking beautiful to watch. Oh my god, the entertainment value with people, cameras everywhere they go. Oh my god, I just would. Dennis Rodman, man, so much fun to watch.
That would be fun to watch. You got a point there.
they did some crazy stuff, even like in the 70s when they're doing like drugs, like it's a drug era.
Yeah
people with phones. I'm sure there'd be some people that like, oh, XYZ player is a great player, and he would have been out of the league because somebody had a phone and they caught him doing some stuff and blah 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 blah. It's crazy, man. It's crazy. Phones would have changed the way that, you know, everybody views things. And the MJ, LeBron haters of the social media world are just so great. It seems like there has to be some sort of like secret society organization because they just move in fucking packs. Like, like for some reason, anytime somebody posts a TikTok, LeBron's so bad, XYZ, MJ is the GOAT, whoo, 100,000 likes. Like, yeah. Like they just somehow fucking migrate to each other.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's like some magnetic force or, you know, there's like Illuminati for and LeBron haters, but there's got to be some leader. And he he is doing his job. So that guy needs a pay raise.
Yeah.
Because they are committed. They are a committed organization. Okay. Of millions of strong. Just like everywhere you go, they're just saying LeBron sucks. LeBron sucks. MJ's the GOAT. Like literally. Barbershop talk. They just somehow always speak louder than everybody else.
Yeah.
Like, it's just I'm impressed. A plus, you get an A plus. You know who's running it? Skip Bayless. Skip Bayless is the guy running the organization. It makes sense now. It makes sense now. No wonder he stayed on air so long. Oh, our rating's so good. Like Skip Bayless is just like, all right, watch my episodes at every 8 a.m. 200,000 people just listening into him. Oh dear God, please tell us about MJ's greatness.
Right. All he does is compare LeBron to MJ the entire episode.
You gotta give respect where respect's due, okay? And these LeBron haters are doing it right, okay?
Yeah, just that level of delusion, I guess. You know, yeah. you gotta give them a standing ovation for that level of delusion for this long. You know what I mean? Just consistently just be delusional. I mean, like he's been in the league for 21 years. You know, it's like. To be delusional for 21 years is just never witnessed.
Yeah.
Well, you know why people, you know why it's like that though? Because people love to hate greatness. You know,
yes.
It's just people flock to that. They like, they surround themselves and like, they love to hate it.
Yes. Yes. It's very true.
I think
true.
It's jealousy.
Yeah. Very true. Yeah. And I feel like basketball history needs a rewrite. Like, there's just so many things that just like, okay, well, you guys think XYZ, well, you're fucking stupid. Like, okay, who was the better player in the 60s? It's Bill Russell because he won 10 rings. Have you watched Will Chamberlain? Like, we deal with this every day.
Right,
we deal with this every day. Like, Will Chamberlain's like a fucking Superman, and Bill Russell's, you know, fucking Green Lantern. Like, I don't know. Like, it's just like the difference there is just like he's a side character. He just had a great team. And they, you know, if we had to make an Olympic team for each year in the 60s and through 1970, four or five of them would be Boston Celtics. Okay, that's why they won so many rings. Okay, that's just the way it is. True. So, it's been so upset. Like people just don't watch basketball enough. Like, watch the Olympics.
Too many casuals.
Right, watch the Olympics. You can learn a lot from the Olympics. That should teach you that. Okay, America has the best talent every year, but we get beat a lot. Okay, why? Why do we not dominate everybody? Because basketball is more complicated than just individual talent. Fit matters.
Exactly.
Right? Mm-hmm. There comes a point in time where you have to figure out fit, and some NBA teams don't even figure out fit. Like, there's a team in Milwaukee that figured out fit. Okay, it's Giannis. Yeah. Right, okay, we got shooters. Everything's got to be a perimeter. Okay, we're going to build this whole system around Giannis. Okay, it's fit. Beautiful, right? Bulls. Okay, MJ's weakness, he might be averaging 40, but man, motherfucker can't pass to save his life, and he's an egotist. Okay, how are we going to build it around him? We need a passing system. We need Scotty. Okay, we have fit, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Yeah, people just don't understand. Basketball is more than just killer instinct. Ooh, Kobe and MJ. They have that killer instinct. LeBron doesn't have the killer instinct. Yeah, because he understands the game of basketball to such a great level that he knows that pass to that guy in the corner is going to have a higher percentage of making it, right? But he's not a fucking egotist, right? He actually understands the game of basketball to such a certain point in time, and that's what his gift is. Okay, cool. Why can't you just appreciate that, right?
Right.
I feel like most people get it wrong because they play basketball when they go up to their park and they just play 21, right?
Yeah.
You're just like, one-on-one, I'm going to be better than you. Okay, you got to play 5-on-5. Sometimes learn that you one-on-one shit doesn't work. You got to pass it to somebody at the corner so they can play harder. You know what I mean? Like, it's just... some people don't understand the basketball game to a certain point, place. You know what I mean? Sad reality.
It is a sad reality because, like I said, it's just too many casuals, too many people who just, you know, who don't really watch the game, watch every couple games, or you know, don't really study the game, don't really haven't really went back and what and like sat there and really sat on YouTube for hours, like, you know, let me look at, you know, the '70s, the '80s, and '90s, see where we've been to know where we're at right now and where we're going.
Yeah,
it's too many people like that. And they make decisions based off of their limited. I'm not saying I know everything, and I'm pretty sure Jason's not saying it either. But we have done our research to an extent. You know, people with no research, lamestream media. You know, they just come out and just say whatever. You know, whatever works with their talking points, and just, you know, whatever. It's just it's crazy. It's crazy that it's just it's only one person I trust, and it is Nick Wright. That's it.
Yeah, I bet you that there's 30 million people in America that think Michael Jordan is the greatest player of all time, and they've never seen 1 second of a highlight or a game ever.
Yeah, because it's supposed to be like common knowledge. Like, when I was younger, everybody was telling me MJ was the GOAT.
Yes.
And I'm like, and that's just supposed to be common knowledge. I'm like, I've never seen MJ. I was born way after MJ.
Yes.
I was born like during his last three-peat, so it's like,
I feel like we're fighting a cult.
Yeah.
pyramid scheme type thing. Like, we're just, like, going up against a $1 billion organization of just, like, people. Like, people, word of mouth was just, like, everybody loved him. MJ, he's the GOAT, blah, 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 blah.
But check this out, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, to be fair to everybody, right?
Yes.
I'm going to say this, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I feel like a lot of these debates come from the eras in which they sprung from, right?
Exactly.
So, like, people who were maybe, like, born in, like, the 40s who watched Wilt and Bill Russell might say, like, oh, Bill Russell's the best player. I mean, you know what I mean? And this, who was able to watch Bill Russell in the 60s, Bill Russell's the best player I've ever seen. He's the GOAT. You know what I mean? Some people in the 70s might be like, well, Kareem, this, right? 80s will be like, Magic, Bird. These two are the best players ever, right? 90s, MJ. You know, maybe you might even throw Shaq and Kobe in there because they had it in later. Or you might say Hakeem or somebody like that. Those might be your top five. They might be out of that, born from that era. Because the people who've watched certain eras pick their best players from the eras that they know best. Just like me and you. We have watched the 2000s, 2010s, and 2020s up to this point. So our best player is, of course, a player who has dominated these for this long time, period of time, which will be LeBron James. But that's just our argument. But I think that if we were to look at it in a balanced way, is that these arguments spring from the generations and the eras from which people have seen the game.
Right. I agree. I feel like that's a great point. And, you know, MJ was 1990. So most people that grew up with MJ were born in 1980. And most of them are 50 years old, 60 years old. All right. Go look who's on ESPN. Go look who's on First Take. Go look who's on all these shows. They're between the age of 50 and 65. They've been doing it for a while. They got the experience, right? That's their age range, right? If you watch younger people, like our podcast and stuff like that, our age range is going to say, you know, LeBron's the GOAT, probably, right? As we get older, you know, probably we'll start seeing some more common opinions here with LeBron, the GOAT. But even, like, I've had the pleasure of being a real basketball addict and, like, watching guys. Like, I find old basketball fun, right? Like,
yeah.
There's some, like, old basketball guys like Sam Jones and Bill Russell on a podcast together talking about the greatest players of all time. And they're just like, why does nobody run? They were saying, like, why does nobody run our sets now? Like, we used to play basketball so well. We won 11 rings and nobody runs our stuff. Like, basketball's evolved. 3-point line.
Yeah.
Like, there's a reason why nobody runs your sets, because your sets are out of date, right? Like, and they're talking about the greatest players of all time. Michael Jordan doesn't come up, right? Because they were born in 1920 and they grew up with Bob Pettit and a George Mikan, and you know, they got to play with Bob Cousy and got to play with Jerry West and Oscar Robertson, and that's their guys, right? Dr. J might get a little love, you know what I mean? Like, Dr. J is greatest players of all time. Dr. J was fun to watch, listen, talk to. Like, it's all 19. 19- He's like, I chose when I was 18 my greatest players of all time, and it's like Elvin Hayes, Bill Russell. Does that list not change it for me? Like, it's fun to watch because I enjoy like a basketball story. It really, like, I feel like that's my true nature, and you know, it's just the reality of basketball is whatever era they played in or they liked. Even the Kobe fans, right? The Kobe section of the world, right? Most of them, Steven Jackson, Matt Barnes. Oh, I played against Kobe. Kobe, the killer mentality. Right? Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett.
Spit it out.
Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett, who got beat by LeBron and probably still a little salty. You know, right? It's just
nobody was scared of LeBron.
Oh yeah, whatever, dude.
Spit it out. Spit it out.
He wasn't scared of you either, Paul Pierce. You were a traffic cone to him. Okay. Paul Pierce couldn't defend and save his life. Like, I don't know what the fuck he's talking about on that one. it's funny. It's funny how people, like, you have to really understand older basketball to really make a good basketball point, because it'll teach you some things, right? But it's just, it's funny. It's fun to watch. It really is.
It is. Yeah. It is fun to watch. See anything, since we're going to move a little modern, you see anything in modern NBA that you want to discuss?
Well, I mean, obviously LeBron James passing Kareem is such a big thing. Yeah. LeBron James is such a big record. I feel like people should really make a bigger, like, there's been a bigger deal made about Steph passing Ray fucking Allen last year on ESPN and like modern talking heads talking about it than just LeBron passing Kareem for the all-time points record. Like, one's bigger than the other. It's just that once he passes it, all these people don't want to talk about the conversation because they know, okay, MJ's the GOAT. Oh, really? Well, why is LeBron James the all-time leading scorer? Oh, shit, my argument's all fucked now. Like, nobody is. Yeah. It's just like they're in denial. Is it really happening? No. We're living in some... I've been knocked out for the last 10 years. No, MJ's still leading LeBron in points scored. No, Kobe. Yeah, Kobe. Better score than LeBron. Yeah. Yeah, who has more all-time points? I just don't really feel like talking about it. We're in denial here. Okay, like,
yeah.
It's just a sad reality. I feel like we should praise him for what he's doing. It's a great accomplishment, right? Congratulations to LeBron James. LeGOAT, okay? Doing LeGOAT things, right? He's such an underrated scorer. He can score. Okay, well, look. I feel like something that people misunderstand about LeBron and Giannis, and I feel like it's a sad thing, is people can get caught up in the beauty of a player. Kobe was beautiful to watch. Kyrie is beautiful to watch, right? Usually, the guys who aren't hyper athletes, like LeBron, MJ, Giannis, Dominique Wilkins didn't have a lot of skill, even though he averaged like 30 a game, right? Are not as beautiful and fun to watch. Because even if you might say, like, oh, he's dunking on people, what do you mean by that, Jason? Well, most of the time, if you're watching an actual NBA game, they're not dunking on people. You don't see that many dunks. It's mostly, like, tough finishes at the rim, and he's going to the free throw line, right? Like, that's the reality. That's where, like, the bread and butter is at the free throw line, right?
Yeah.
So it's not as fun to watch. I feel like people get a little confused, because the reason why Kyrie needs all that handle is because he's not as athletically gifted. Russell Westbrook is one of the greatest point guards of all time. Didn't have a great handle, but he doesn't need it because once he's athletic, he doesn't need that great handle. He just takes one step, he's past you. He takes two steps, and he's past you. Kyrie needs a handle, hezzy, handle, hezzy. Okay, I take one step. Yeah. Okay, the defender recovered. Hezzy. Right? Like, he needs that because he's not as athletically gifted, right? Like, that's just the reality of the NBA, and LeBron James was so athletically gifted that it wasn't as beautiful to watch as Kobe. Doesn't mean he wasn't as great as a scorer as a guy like Melo, because he's put so much pressure at the rim because he was going to the free throw line a lot, and he had defenders in a quandary because of his passing, so he couldn't really just, like, load up on him. And he was just dominant at his style of basketball, right? Giannis is similar. Giannis is, right, in highlights fun to watch, but when you watch the Milwaukee Bucks game, it's not as fun as watching Kyrie Irving play for the Brooklyn Nets because he's like getting to the rim and he's going to the free throw line. It's like, oh my God, I got to watch this fucking shit again. He's going to do the same thing again. Even Shaq was a little boring-ish because he was so dominant. He doesn't have all the beautiful footwork like Hakeem. Beautiful doesn't mean better. There's a difference here. And I feel like because of that, LeBron James is scoring because it's not as beautiful to watch is why people don't give him the credit for what a great scorer he is. He's a great all-time scorer. Top 10, a greatest all-time scorer. Okay, that's not that crazy to say he's the all-time, going to be the all-time leader in points. Right? Beauty does not mean greatness. Okay? Steph, hella fun to watch. You know why he needs to be hyper-skilled? Because Steph can barely fucking dunk, okay? He needs all this. So he's more beautiful to watch because it's ooh and ahs and wow. And Kobe's with the crazy mid-range shots and crazy tough shots. Ooh and ah and wow. Even James Harden was fun to watch and Luka's fun to watch. Ooh and ah and wow. It's like crazy skill. Beautiful does not mean better. I feel like it's a little confused here.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I like that. I like that. Beautiful does not mean better. They're both two very big B words, but they're not the same big B word. Like what I did there.
Yeah, that was nice. That was nice.
But yeah, just, you know, beautiful does not mean better. There's players like, you know, might just have a functional handle like LeBron. It just works. It just allows him to get from point A to point B a lot better. You know, kind of get around defenders a little bit. But he relies so much on his athleticism that he doesn't really need the type of function that Kyrie does, the way that Steph does, the way that James Harden does.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.